Hello and welcome to the Mostly Soccer Podcast. Today is Tuesday, August 24th at 4:08 p.m. sharp. My name is Michael J. Dalo, and today I'm here with Jimmy. Jimmy, what today?
I'm just Jimmy Torn. I'm torn on the biggest rumor out right now that your favorite player, Michael, the player you idolize, the man you got posters on your wall, Cristiano Ronaldo, is going to possibly come to Manchester City.
So what does that make you? Jimmy Torn?
Torn. I'm torn because this is a man who, he's a United man through and through. He's the man built at United. A player who I respect. I'm joking when I say your favorite player. You can't stand him. You can see it on your face for the people who can see the video. I've always respected Ronaldo. I would be happy if this happens. But I'm almost torn because I feel like Harry Kane is such the perfect signing for this team. And now I'm almost swaying like, well, we can get Ronaldo a lot cheaper, and it's Ronaldo. That would be pretty cool. It'd be a good way to shove it in the United fans' face who've been talking about Sancho
so,
for the last 2 months.
Hold on. What just happened was we introduced the podcast. I asked Jimmy what his name was, and then he went into a three-minute rant, an unsolicited three-minute rant on Cristiano Ronaldo potentially coming to City.
Yes.
That was completely out of control, Jimmy.
Hey. You gave me the video now. I feel like I'm running for president. I have to talk to the people.
It was absurd. And quite frankly, it might be your worst intro ever.
Oh, no. Now I'm sad. Jimmy Sadness.
I almost want to ask Will to edit it out, but we're gonna truck through. And after I insulted you, I misspoke. So it's only right. But anyways, Jimmy, I thought we would get to the Cristiano Ronaldo talk.
No, I went right
you
into it.
You immediately, without question, hammered right into it. So we are taking a break from our Premier League preview series. We do have some more teams to go on that, and we are getting back into the normal swing of things with just our normal Premier League chats. And I couldn't be happier, Jimmy, aside from the fact that Arsenal just continue to lose repeatedly, and so I have no actual happiness in my life.
I here's what I want to say. I'm very glad that we have video now to witness what may potentially happen with you and Arsenal this year.
Well, we need to start doing like live streams of the actual games.
No, we
but
can't
that wouldn't be good. I would get canceled.
I was going to say that could never happen. That would be too explicit to be on any channel.
Yeah, granted, Xhaka would have his lawyers after me pretty instantly, it feels like.
I feel like there'd be a lot of restraining orders put out against you. Yeah. People would be worried. Both for your health and for the players' health.
But anyways, Jimmy, we have six matches that we're going to cover today, and then we're also going to do our predictions for next week at the end of the show. But anyways, Jimmy, I think we should get right into it, and let's dive in first to Arsenal 0, Chelsea 2. Notice that I'm not wearing an Arsenal kit today for the video.
I do notice that. I also noticed we're both wearing pink, so we decided that pink was the color today.
Pink is the color. I'm wearing the Providence City PVD Donuts kit. Yep. Shouts out Providence City FC. But anyways, I'm trying to avoid talking about Arsenal because I just really don't want to. We lose on our home debut to Chelsea 2-0. Romelu Lukaku starts, scores a goal basically immediately, 15 minutes in. And from there, it would just get worse from Arsenal. Reece James scored not too much later in the 35th. And Arsenal, they just stink. It's really what the theme of this Arsenal talk is going to be, is that they just fucking stink. So, Jimmy, I want to talk first about the lineup and the excuse for Mikel Arteta. It's that literally everyone is out, injured, or sick with COVID.
So everyone?
No Aubameyang, no Lacazette, which really does hurt. We have no one who can score aside from those two.
I will say Aubameyang did play this game.
Yes, but he came in late, didn't start.
Correct.
It would have been helpful for him to start. Irregardless, we still should be able to score without Aubameyang. We're not. We had Martinelli, Pepe, Smith Rowe, and Saka up top. That was the lineup, and it did excite me a little bit because I love playing the youth, and I love Pepe, but it's just not enough. We really do need a striker, and having every one of our strikers out is an issue, would be for any team, i.e. Manchester City. Well, you don't have them out.
We don't have one. That's the difference.
That's fair. But really, Thomas Partey being injured, Gabriel being injured in defense, Ben White potentially with COVID. I mean, the rest of our team is not really all that important injury wise, I would say. But that's three big pieces.
Absolutely.
You could argue.
And I'm being facetious in a way, but I also know in my heart of hearts, when you saw this lineup, you were excited.
I did. And I tweeted that I was excited because I love playing the babies. And you know what? For the first 10 minutes, it looked like it might actually be something to get excited about. It looked like Arsenal were playing well. The crowd was behind them. And then the inevitable happened. So something that I've found under Mikel Arteta is that you honestly, it happens almost every single game. Arsenal start the game and almost score instantly every single game. I don't know if you've noticed this.
I have noticed that they start very first 10 minutes of a match. They
hot,
start
10
very,
minutes.
Very good. And then it's the second half of the first half where they are terrible.
15 minutes is the threshold.
Yeah, it's like they run out of energy.
If they don't score within 15 minutes,
they get frustrated.
We're terrible. We lose the game. It's really just, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, it can't be part of the system. It's not a part of the Mikel Arteta system.
That's what I was going to say. Is it just the players, like, is it bad managing that the players just give up on the system? Is that what it is? Is it bad fitness? What is the issue?
I wish I knew. Speaking of system, I mean, we can get there in a moment because we're really going to have to talk about Arteta because I have an official statement to make. But from my notes, I said we started the game well and we were done after 10 minutes. What I did want to point out, though, not all is bad because our new signing, Albert Sambi-Lakanga, looks like a great player from the small sample size of two matches. Most midfielders who signed for Arsenal immediately look great and then they kind of... shoot down a little bit. Lucas Torreira, Matteo Guendouzi, just a few examples.
Quite a few.
And then before we get to the tactics and whatnot, let's just say that Lukaku instantly put his mark on the Premier League, his return to the Premier League, and dominated Jimmy. Jimmy, look at me.
Are we going to talk?
Dominated Pablo Marie.
I was saying, we're going to talk about Pablo Marie
awful.
Already.
He's fucking garbage.
So Pablo Marie, not only was he dominated, he literally followed Lukaku around the field. He never passed him on to hold. He would just followed him. He's like, this is my guy. I'm going to stay with him. And that was a very bad decision all the way around. Lukaku is a great player. His
Pablo Marie,
Chelsea,
terrible player.
Is incredible. He's going to do this to a lot of center backs in this league. He did to a lot of center backs in Italy. He's going to dominate. He's going to be a force. But this was you couldn't have asked for a better return to the Premier League than a Rob Holding, Pablo Marie partnership for Lukaku.
Literally couldn't have been worse for Arsenal that both of our center backs are out and we have to face Big Rom. What an absolute menace. He just puts his back to goal and... Pablo Marie couldn't stop him. I mean, I don't know if any defender could really stop Lukaku getting the ball into his feet, but Pablo Marie was especially unable to do that. In the entire game, it looked like Tierney knew that, covering him on his left-hand side, so he kept getting sucked in so far to help him, and that's literally how two goals were scored in this first half. Arsenal were sucked in from the left. Reece James is wide open. And two goals from almost exactly the same thing. And by the way, I'm really not trying to bash Granit Xhaka because I want to like him because he's so great for Switzerland. He is a good leader in air quotes because I don't know if I ever really see it on the field aside from with Switzerland. But like... he's also at fault for a big part of both of those goals. Like, he is just nowhere to be found. So one of the things about Arteta's system is that Tierney gets forward. He gets forward quite a bit. He's literally like the crux of our attack for some reason.
One of your most threatening players.
Which is a terrible, terrible thing. that he's a part of the attack so hard. I think the camera will be fine.
Okay, you saw my finger point.
Yeah,
did
I know.
See that?
It's the other computer.
I saw the screen go dark.
Maybe you could edit that out.
Don't.
Fine.
Don't.
But anyways, Arteta gets Tierney so far forward, and Granit Xhaka's role is to cover that left back position. And both of these times, Tierney didn't get sucked forward. Mm-hmm. He got sucked backwards. He got that good suck back in towards Lukaku. <Good suck. laughs> And Granit Xhaka, you know, he's nowhere to be found. So that left-hand space is just completely wide open. So it's a player issue, but it's also a system issue.
This team's a mess. I'm just going to sum it up for you. The team is a mess. It is a mess. I don't know how to explain it. And I was positive. I was trying to be positive on them. I felt like I was being infected by you this year, Michael. And I was being positive about Arsenal. And I said, oh, I think they could finish top six. Boy, was I wrong. I'm already out. I'm out. Two games and I'm out. I am so far out. I don't know what fooled me about this team. They are who we thought they were. They really are. Like, they are just, they're not
awful.
Their names, some of them are relatively big names. They're not very good players. I just want to be like, I just don't think they're that good of players. And we see flashes. This is a team of players who have flashes. There's moments with Granit Xhaka, like you talked about, where he looks incredible. There's moments with Pepe where he looks incredible. But then it's 88 out of the 90 minutes. They're just not that good.
So, wait a second. So, I don't disagree. When you look at the Arsenal team on paper, we should be much better than what we are. Mm-hmm. That right there should tell you managerial issue. Because let's look at West Ham United, for example. Mm-hmm. West Ham are running rampant. West Ham are scoring goals left and right. They play a fun, fast-paced style. And they don't have half the names on the team sheet that Arsenal has. What does that tell you about West Ham?
Better manager. I agree.
Much better manager.
Part of me would argue with you that they're better players.
No, they do not, Jimmy. Listen, aside from Suchek.
Suchek's my guy. He's.
I know. I love Suchek.
That's my guy.
Mikel Antonio up front, who really is like not better than Aubameyang. Those are the two guys where you could, and Declan Rice, three guys you could argue.
Benrahma's good.
Yes, but like Pepe is better than Benrahma. Bakayo Saka is better than Benrahma.
I don't know about that. I don't know if either one of them are better than him. I don't know. I like Saka a lot. I think Saka has the potential to be incredible. I don't think Pepe is better than him.
Yes,
I
he
think
is.
Benrahma's been in the league a little less than Pepe and has performed better.
Because he plays in a team that's fit for him.
Bowen is better than Pepe.
Oh my, that's so stupid.
It's true though. He is better. He is a better player.
No.
He's a better player.
That's so stupid, Jimmy.
He's a better player. He is a better player. He's not a big name, but he's a better player.
No. I'm not going off name. I'm going off Nicolas Pepe is just a straight up better player than both those guys.
What has he done? What has he done in this league?
Towards the end of last year, he carried Arsenal. Completely carried them. Still carried. I mean, no one else was doing anything.
I think they're names. I don't know if any of these players really deserve even the name. Outside of someone like Aubameyang, who's done it in multiple leagues, Thomas Partey, who's done it in multiple leagues. Pepe's still going off that one season he had in France. I really do. I still think he's living off that one season.
So you're telling me.
I like Smith Rowe. Actually, Smith Rowe is someone who I very much like.
Smith Rowe is phenomenal. The only player who's actually looked good for Arsenal.
I like Smith Rowe a lot. I think Tierney's good too. But Tierney's hit or miss, and he's always hurt. So that's an issue with him.
So back to the Pepe issue. If Pepe played in a system where he could thrive, like in a Tottenham, in a Tottenham system, like he's better than Bergwijn, and he would be better in that system. He is built for a counter-attacking team. Mm-hmm. And Arsenal don't do fucking anything. They are a nothing team. They're not a counter-attacking. They're not a possession team. They're not a long ball team. They're just like 11 guys out there who just, like, Tierney gets forward and whips and crosses to no one. That's the only game plan that Arsenal have. Mm-hmm. Like, cards on table, that's all this team is. So a player like Pepe would be much better in a different system. I think the same thing for Saka. I think the same thing for Tierney. Like, Tierney is a great left back, but his real position to me is in a back three as that left-sided center back. Like, when Arsenal won the FA Cup under Mikel Arteta, like, that's how we played. We had that back three, and we had Maitland-Niles, and we had, you know, Cedric or Bellerin playing the opposite side in a back three, and we were successful, and then we just abandoned it. So I'm not sure that we can blame the players entirely. I think with a different manager, Arsenal are a different team and can achieve some semblance of, like, what we hoped for them this season.
I just don't know, because I feel like this is what we were saying with Emery. So I don't know.
But, like, Emery didn't have a real style with Arsenal either.
Again, though, doesn't that eventually go back to the players? Isn't that a personnel issue? Because we've seen Emery go and succeed now after leaving.
I don't think so, though. Because, like, even if you look at, like, Spurs with, like, Jose Mourinho, like, irregardless of the players, it was a different system than Poch. And now Spurs have transformed into this counterattacking team that Mourinho built and now has transferred over to Nuno. It's like the players can adapt. The players are intelligent. They can do it.
I don't doubt that. I don't thought that. I think the issue. I think the issue at Arsenal is deep rooted at this point. What it is exactly, I don't know. But I think it's a across the board issue. That's the only way I can see it, because I don't see change. I don't see a clear plan either from the like director of football level. A lot has been said about the Ramsdale purchase. Obviously, people have made their feelings known about that. A lot of people are not happy that money was spent at a position they feel that they're solidified at. And I will say, you and I have both never been, at least recently, and not the biggest fan of Leno, but he did have an incredible save in this game. Hasn't necessarily done that much wrong, you know, at the end of last season till now. I just, when you look at the issues this team has, maybe that money could have been spent better.
I guess, but you still need a backup goalie. I think Ramsdale's a good signing.
I think Ramsdale's good. I told you, I think he's good. I actually like him quite a bit.
I mean, irregardless of personnel, we're making signings. We're making good signings. Like,
the spending
regardless
money.
Of the money spent, right? Like, Odegaard is a great signing. Ben White is a great signing. Sure, maybe not for $50 million, but, like, an exciting signing, right? Yep. Even Ramsdale, like, all positions we need filled. We need help in a lot of spots. Sambi is a great signing. It's not a personnel issue anymore. It to me, as an Arsenal fan who watches every game, it's not a personnel issue anymore. It's a managerial issue. And I am so sad to say it. Official club statement, Michael Dalo, I am Mikel Arteta out.
Well, I was going to ask you, because this is, I feel it's like over. We've been ranting about Arsenal for 20 minutes, over. It feels like. So you're out officially.
I am officially done. I can't take it anymore. And it's, I really do love Mikel Arteta. He seems like a nice, genuine guy. And I know that he knows what he's doing. Like, it was evident his first few months. Like, this guy understands. And then I don't know where he went wrong. I think maybe he won that FA Cup and then he said, this team is better than what I thought they were. And guess what? Like, we're not Manchester City. We need to play with the back three. We just can't play that same style. We can't whip in crosses. It's just, it's not Arsenal. It's not working with Mikel Arteta. And I will be sad when he is eventually fired, because I think there isn't going to be a turnaround large enough for him to stay. I would say before November, he'll be gone. And the man who needs to come in and save Arsenal is Antonio Conte. Like you don't think an Antonio Conte could help this damn team?
Absolutely. I don't think Antonio Conte would take this
job. Wouldn't. No chance he'll come. But if he did.
He helps any team. He has shown his ability to come in and get a team to win and then leave unceremoniously. This is
fine.
What he does.
Fine.
Which, if yeah, take. I think any Arsenal fan would be crazy not to take that. Like, why would you not?
I just
don't know how you convince him that this is the job to take.
I don't know. I mean, he almost took the Spurs job, so.
He did,
we'll
but.
We'll see.
In theory, the Spurs team, if he goes there and they keep Kane and all that, in theory, that team is a better team.
Right, but before this season, they weren't on paper. compared to Arsenal. I mean, we both picked them to be lower than Arsenal on the table.
It looks really bad now.
All of our predictions always look bad.
I will say that they've made some signings since then and look like they may possibly keep Harry Kane.
Yeah, I don't know. But maybe we should move on from Arsenal. We've gone on for about 20 minutes.
Can we talk about Chelsea a little?
No.
I have to talk about Chelsea just a little bit.
Thomas Tuchel just completely outclassed Mikel Arteta. We should say that.
Yeah. Well, Tuchel, Chelsea, I mean, there's not much else we could say. They're an incredible team.
Terrifying.
They're probably going to add, I can never pronounce his name, Koundé and Saul to this team. One of the highest rated young defenders and a very solid midfielder. I'm very, very nervous about this team. I think you're crazy if you don't think that they are going to at least potentially or be the favorite to win the league at this point. Right now, based on the way the teams are situated, they probably should be your favorite.
Yeah, I mean, looking at them, they're the most complete team. I don't think it's a secret. I think Liverpool have actually.
I was going to say Liverpool are probably close, and we're not going to talk about them this week. And we should focus on their game next week and talk about it.
Definitely,
because plus City and Arsenal play, so that's one game instead of two. So we should focus on Liverpool because I have to say they've been very impressive. But Chelsea kind of have just picked up where they left off. So I am very worried about Chelsea. Short.
And another great example of having the players. But not the right manager. Frank Lampard leaves Chelsea, go on to become the best team in the Premier League, champions of Europe. So not the trajectory I would envision for Arsenal, but at least we wouldn't be trying to fight for our lives in a relegation battle.
Yeah, I will say, though, Chelsea also spend money at a far different level than Arsenal do.
Agreed. But still, I think the point remains. So the next game we can talk about your boys, Jimmy. I think this one will probably be a quick hit. Mm-hmm. Manchester City 5, Norwich 0. Take it away, James.
I mean, so here's my takeaway from this game. One, City still need a striker. I want to make that very clear. You win 5-0, that's not a usual takeaway. I want to make that very, very clear. If you watch this game, this team still needs a striker, but they did figure something big out, which is something I think I've been saying forever. Gabriel Jesus, not a striker. He is, I will say, an incredible winger. When he is on form and playing on the wing, it's a completely different player. He has always been an energy player. I don't think I've never seen a striker who plays as hard as him. And I've always credited that, like, I love him just because of the effort he gives. But on the wing, he's allowed to use what he's good at, which is his quick ability on the ball. His ability to go at people, and then it gets him away of the one thing that he can't do, which is he's just a king of the extra touch and just not having confidence in himself to shoot.
Gabby two times.
Yeah, like in this game, he absolutely destroyed them on the wing. He was unplayable on the wing, and I hope that that's where he continues to play. I think he offer City a little more dynamism there. I think the combo of him and Grealish on both wings are just players that actually take people on.
Yeah.
Which Raheem Sterling, for all the incredible things he's done, and we saw at the Euros what he can be, he's never been someone who is necessarily great at taking people on the ball. He's better at getting around people, making great late runs to the box and being in the right spot, which he did in this game to get a nice goal. But I was very impressed with that. And the other biggest takeaway is I'm Eric Laporte. Do not let that man leave. There's been so many rumors about him leaving. Yeah. The combo of Laporte and Diaz in this game, and I understand it's Norwich, and they're not the biggest
poor
threat.
Poor Norwich.
But they had no shot at ever scoring a goal. Those two together, and those two also create. Laporte scored, and Diaz created a goal with an amazing pass. On the ball, those are two of the best center backs in the world at being able to create, which is what you need in the City attack. John Stones had an incredible year. It's nothing against him. But if they were to let Laporte go because of playing time to Stones, to me, that would just be insane. He is back to what he was pre-injury and pre-being out of the team last year. He looked, like I said, he looked incredible in this game.
Yeah. I saw a report today. I think it might have been Fabrizio tweeted it. I might have been scrolling deep into his old tweets, but City apparently offered Laporte and cash
part
for Harry Kane.
Deal.
And then Spurs went out and bought Christian Romero.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So like, what are Spurs thinking, not taking a deal like that? I mean, you can get Laporte in 50, 70 million. Like, that's an insane deal. Yeah.
And I know Romero is a great player from all, everything from Italy has said, like, he was maybe the best defender in Italy last year. Like, he was that good. So, and I think he's going to be very good. But I think that might be the biggest blessing in disguise for City is if they can keep Laporte. I think they need to. I think the idea of going into the season with just Diaz, Stones, and Ake as your three senior center backs is terrifying to me. When you have Stones and Ake who have a history of both being injured.
Yep.
I just think the difference they've made, the difference of seeing Kyle Walker coming into the team this week, which allowed Cancelo to go on left and not have Mendy on the field.
Can't be understated how big that is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to rile on about this one. I think it was a pretty straightforward match. I'm excited to see the game this weekend, to see City play Arsenal.
I'm not.
Arsenal played well against City under Arteta in some games and some not so much. But I do think City still need a striker really, really bad. I like Ferran Torres. He actually scored a nice goal that was ruled back, which is kind of controversially. But I do think that they may have found something with Jesus on the wing. I really hope he continues to play there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't think City will have any problems with Arsenal this weekend. Unfortunately, that game is at 7:30 in the morning, so I don't think we'll be watching it together.
No.
We're watching it from bed.
I will be up. I'll be up, yeah, but same. I don't know if I want you laying there next to me at 7:30 in the morning.
I thought we were having a sleepover. Oh, man. Well, I have to find new plans for the weekend if anyone is around. One thing I did want to ask you, Jimmy, is Norwich. I mean, I know they played two of the best teams in the league. They got spanked by Liverpool 3-0 and then City 5-0. Mm-hmm. And then today they went and spanked Bournemouth in the Carabao Cup. Josh Sargent. Say Josh Sargent. Say it five times fast.
Josh Sargent.
Can you?
Two goals.
What a breakaway rant. Yes, two goals on his debut for Norwich.
One of which was him literally like falling over and the ball hit him as it rolled in.
Hey, but a goal is a goal.
Counts all the same.
But are you concerned for Norwich at all after these two games? It's a small sample size against literally the top of the top.
Yes. I was concerned before these two games. They're the same team that was in the league really before. Are. They're the same team except Buendia is not there anymore.
Yep.
Outside of that, they're pretty much the same team. Like when you watch them, like their attack is still Cantwell and Pukki. Mm-hmm. And like I will say I like Aarons a lot. I think Billy Gilmore does help this team. But again, like I just think they're in trouble.
They can't defend.
Number 30, and I wish I knew his name off the top of my head. Number 30 was getting absolutely destroyed by Gabriel Jesus. It was tough to watch at one point. I think I'm looking up right now. Watch. Demetrius Gyanoulis.
Oh. That's a name.
It was a rough game for him. I'll just say that much. It was a rough game for him.
Demetrius Gabagool. Rough game for that guy. But yeah, Norwich, I'm starting to get a little bit concerned. Small sample size. We'll wait and see if they beat Arsenal. And if they don't, then sound the alarm. They'll be in trouble. A game that I wanted to talk about desperately, Jimmy, was Leeds 2, Everton 2.
Mm-hmm.
We had a penalty early-ish on Dominic Calvert-Lewin, which was a penalty. Got pulled back in the box. And then from there, we had Klitsch score a goal in the 41st off a Michael Keane terrible error. He was all over the place this game. He was abysmal this game. Then Damari Gray, the £1.7 million transfer, who bossed it all game.
I was going to say, I want to talk about him. He was the best player on the field by far.
He
was
a hell of a
very
match.
Very very good. Like, and we talked about him, I think, in our preview show, like our preview, not the one with that people sent in. And we talked about how he was kind of, you know, at Leicester he was considered a really big prospect and it never really worked out.
Yep.
Went to Germany, now's back. That turn he had too. I think he had at least two or three more plays that he set up for perfect assists that just weren't put in. This was a phenomenal game for him. I was so impressed with him. He looks like someone who is taking the second chance he's been given.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. He looked great, and I even wrote in my notes, I said, great goal.
Great goal.
That's the type of analysis you get here.
The triple G.
The great goal. Josh Sargent. And then in the 72nd minute, we had an absolute missile from the man, the myth, the legend, Rafinha for Leeds. I love Rafinha, Jimmy. Oh, my God, he's stunning. Every time I've watched him play, he is just bossing it. And the way he hits the ball, he spanks it. Mm-hmm. I feel like every time I watch Leeds play, Rafinha just hits like an absolute stunner.
Yeah, and he's fantastic.
And I mean, he did it again today. But what I really wanted to talk about, it's a question that I wanted to pose to you. Are Everton like an unlikable team now? Like, you know, we used to like hate the players on United a little bit, or at least I did. Now I really feel like Everton on the back of Yeramina and Richarlison are becoming one of the most unlikable teams in the league. Mina is just the fucking worst.
He's bad. Like he's in an, it's hard. Who's more annoying, him or Richarlison?
Mina. Because
Richarlison, I will say, anytime I've ever City have played Everton, or if I bet on the other team playing Everton, Richarlison is the one player that makes me yell at the TV the most, because this man has to spend 70 of the 90 minutes on the ground.
It's very difficult to watch the both of them play. Mina for different reasons, though. Like, if I'm an Everton fan, I might like that Mina's like talking trash all game, but like also not, because Mina's not good enough to talk trash. And like, he didn't do anything to warrant this trash talk to Bamford all game. Like he was a part of that Michael Keane error goal, and Bamford literally just put a ball right around him, and they scored. And then Bamford almost had a goal towards the end of the game, and Mina just has like the most average match and is literally running his mouth the entire game. And then there was one moment where they were towards the out of bounds line, and Mina literally threw his body back into Bamford three times and was just like, I don't understand what type of man does this.
Yeramina. It's what he's done since he's been in the league. Like, he
sucks. He sucks. Like he is the most average defender, and he just sucks as a person, I think. Like, he's just annoying.
He is a pain.
Like the little dances that he does after he scores. Like, I'm all for a celebration, but like, I'm pretty sure even in the Copa America, he was talking trash on a few different occasions, and just like, you're not good enough yourself. You don't play for a good enough team to warrant you this behavior. Just cut it out.
I think that's fair.
And then Richarlison is the same problem I have with like Gabriel Jesus. It's like the crying baby face the entire times that they play. You know what I mean?
It's bad. At least Jesus does not like dive on the floor nonstop. No. He's got the face. He's always got the
face.
That's
just his face.
You can't change the fact that that's it. That's his face, whether he's happy, sad, whatever. That's just his face. With Richarlison, he literally is a pest. He's so frustrating.
And it's like what you want from players that are on your team. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, it's like a little bit annoying to watch a guy like that, I feel like. Even as a neutral, like I've said it 100 times in the podcast, I have considered myself a semi-Everton fan since I've started watching the Premier League, and it's really starting to take a decline. So, Jimmy, are Everton unlikable?
I think unlikable is harsh.
Like,
I think they're frustrated. I don't think they're a likable team right now, I will say that. I don't know if they're likable.
Are Manchester United more likable than Everton?
No, I would never say that. I can't. I refuse to say that.
I think the fans of Everton are very nice people. We've had a lot of great interactions with them. But so I think the players are bordering unlikable, where we might have to add in a segment where we laugh at Everton. I can't say anything like that, because we should have a segment where we cry every time Arsenal loses.
We cry.
Just me weeping into the camera for 20 minutes or so.
Well, here's the question, Michael. What do you think of the game outside of the goals? We talked about a little bit Gray and a little bit about Rafinha, but what do you think of the overall match?
Action-packed, awesome game. I didn't think there was much refereeing decision that impeded it. I mean, that penalty I thought was pretty bang on. Mm-hmm. No debate there for me. And I hate a penalty. But yeah, I loved it. It was a great game if you were a neutral. And Leeds just always produce a good time. It really is. Like, I was watching it with Brooke and I said, whatever this game may be, it'll be a game full of goals. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it was 2-2. Yep. That's a fun draw.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think there was much defense played on either end.
No.
I think there was a lot of chances created. I mean, it's funny because if you look at the stats, I mean, Leeds dominated in terms of possession. But I think Everton might be the ones a little frustrated with the loss because they had, like I said, Gray set up maybe two or three tap-ins that on another day maybe go in the back of the net. It was definitely a good match for sure.
Yeah, I do want to say, though, I think Everton are going to be a good side if Rafa stays. Mm-hmm. If he stays for 2 years or mm-hmm. so, I think Everton are going to be back to that level where we think they're challenging yeah. for top four.
I will say, seeing Allen and Decore actually play together, which felt like they didn't get to play together that much last year, I thought they looked very good together again.
Yeah, we should give some credit to Decore, who's had a great two games. He almost scored in this one mm-hmm. With another long-range strike. So excited to see that midfield duo as we go. Next game, Jimmy, let's talk about West Ham 4, Leicester 1. I mean, West Ham are legit. We mentioned it earlier when we were talking about Arsenal. But this team just keeps winning. They're carrying over that form from mm-hmm. last season. We had a goal from Pablo Fornals, a Yossi Perez red card in the 40th minute for Leicester. And from there, it got ugly. We had Jimmy's boy, apparently, Benrahma score. Tielemans did pull one back for Leicester, mm-hmm. and then Mikel Antonio with a wonderful brace and a wonderful celebration to top it off.
Yes, love the celebration. I would say he became West Ham's all-time leading goal scorer. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Is that why he was celebrating
that
way?
He kissed the cardboard cutout of himself.
Yes, love that. love Antonio, first of all. I mean,
so good.
And the goal couldn't have been a more perfect Mikel Antonio goal of just being just a bully, just bullying defenders around. I've always been a fan of his. I feel like every year he starts so good or has a run and then he's hurt or then he's suspended or then just something comes up every year and he never gets to have like a full season of just being the player he can be. He's someone who I kind of, in a way, and I love him as a player, I'm kind of disappointed because I think that he could have been such a better player than he actually is. And he's already a very good player.
I love Mikel Antonio. I think we both said on the podcast many times how much we enjoy watching him. I think that it's not the issue of him not like achieving what he could have been. I think it's just an injury problem. And even with the injuries, he always comes back and he produces right away.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I'm just kind of sad that he never got like, this is a man who never played for England.
Yeah.
Never got the call for England.
That's true.
I think West Ham is a very good team, but never got that big, big move. So, I mean, I think he's a player who, like I said, I really have always enjoyed watching. If he's on the field, I know it's at least going to be entertaining.
Yeah. And that the Yossi Perez red card that really shifted the game. I mean, West Ham were winning before then and were mm-hmm. playing very well. Probably would have won the game regardless. But Perez kind of, I don't know if you saw it.
I did. Yeah.
He lost the ball, kind of stumbled back into the challenge and then really kind of raked. I forget who it was at this point, but kind of stamped down on them.
I think it might have been Fornals.
Yes, it was.
But it's a red. It's a red. It's one of those ones where it's the intent is not necessarily a red, but the fact that it happens, and you catch the player where you do, mm-hmm. I think you just have to call it a red card.
Yeah, I think if in a game time decision, like I understand mm-hmm. why it wasn't called. But when you watch it on replay, it's like it's pretty indisputable evidence there.
Yeah.
And you get sent off. And Leicester, I mean, not a great start to the season for Leicester. I mean, I know they beat Wolves in that first match, but they haven't. I mean, two games in, mm-hmm. they haven't looked convincing so far. I mean, really doesn't mean much.
No. I will say, though, the Soinicu, the pass back for the second
goal. Yeah.
Oh, God, that was bad. That was really, really bad. He's someone who we both like, had a very rough Euros, and now maybe not the best start to the season because that was, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a lack of confidence because it takes a lot of confidence to decide to make that pass. But it was just not a very good.
Very Arsenal-esque from Soyuncu. Yes. But I think since his injury, he hasn't really come back to where he was. Because he was playing as one of the better center backs in the mm-hmm. league until he got injured. Mm-hmm. And then since then, he's just really not been doing it. So hopefully he gets back into form. But Leicester, I think, they're gonna be fine. It's a tough game when you're down a man away from home, and the fans are back, and West Ham are really no joke anymore. Mm-hmm. One question before we leave this game, Jimmy. Where do you think West Ham finish this year?
That's a tough one. I'm going to say that West Ham, right now, I'm going to put them in seventh.
Seventh? Mm-hmm. I assume you're bumping out Arsenal.
I'm bumping out Arsenal. I'm bumping up Spurs.
Okay.
I've been very impressed with Spurs. I know we're not going to really like deep dive on Spurs right now.
Well, we can go talk about them right now.
Can we talk about them just a little bit?
Let's see. Wolves 0, Spurs 1. Dele Alli gets an early penalty, which I thought was a warranted penalty. I know a lot of folks were saying that if he played for Arsenal, he wouldn't have got it. But I think Jose Sa takes him down, clips his leg. And I really don't think there's much of a debate there. And from there, Spurs got peppered by Wolves, and they held on defensively and ended 1-0. Nuno gets the win over his old club.
Nuno gets the win. I think Spurs have a similarity to how Wolves played before, which is, I think Spurs, to continue kind of what they were under Jose, are not going to be the most fun team to watch in terms of, like, they're not creating beautiful plays, but in a way that they maybe weren't as much under Jose, he was maybe a little more cautious even than Nuno. I think that they're going to be such a threat on the counter. And I think when you add Adama Traore, which is looking like a real possibility, that he, who was excellent in this game, he was very good, almost single-handedly gave Wolves a chance in this game. I think if he comes onto this Spurs team,
terrifying.
I think that they're going to be just they're going to be one of those teams you just don't want to play.
Yep.
Because if you give one mistake away, give the ball away once, you're just going to be having him and Son and Lucas and Bergwijn and all these other players, Ryan Gill, who we haven't seen play yet, coming out at you. And if they keep Harry Kane, which at this point we really don't know, I still think with all the moves they're making, they signed a player from France today who they're letting stay there for a year, but they did sign
another
that.
Sar.
Yeah, Sar, another one of the Sars. Not Sars. obviously, we talked about Christian Romero before. I feel like this is like hinting at they have money coming in, that they're spending all this money.
Yeah, perhaps.
But, I mean, if they do keep Harry Kane, this is going to be a very good team. It's going to be a very good team. Again, I don't think they're going to be the most fun team, but they're going to be a team that's really, really hard to play against. And seeing Dele Alli get back is a good thing, especially if you're an England fan. If I think he can add something to a team. He's one of those players that can just make magic happen.
Mm-hmm.
He can go, again, he's one of the people who for 88 minutes can suck and then just have that goal or have that crazy pass. So having someone like that, if you're an England fan, again, for the World Cup coming up, Dele Alli on form is always a threat. So I think it'll be interesting to see where Spurs end up. But I have to say, I did not expect them to start the year looking this strong defensively.
Yeah, and they've had two tough matches. City and Wolves are obviously nothing to be mad about if you're a Spurs fan getting wins over those clubs. Tanganga had another fantastic game.
Mm-hmm.
We should say that. Yeah, I think if Spurs can get rid of Tanguy and they, I don't know, they bring in someone else for the midfield,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be right up there contending at this point. I mean, two games in again, so I'm not throwing my season predictions out the window just yet, but they look very good.
Mm-hmm.
And Wolves, I still don't know what they are yet. I mean, they've lost two games, 1-0, mm-hmm. two tough opponents. Think they'll be fine. Raul Jimenez needs to get back to scoring goals, though. Yeah.
The inability to score goals, like we talked about,
is a
real problem.
It's a real problem. That's what mid-table teams struggle with, scoring goals, i.e. Arsenal Football Club. And the last game that we're going to cover today is Southampton 1, Manchester United 1. Not quite a full minute of laughing worth.
No.
But this is just so Manchester United. Fred scores the OG, in air quotes, off a tough deflection. Mm-hmm. And United go down 1-0. And then Greenwood comes back with a goal in the 54th off a beautiful Pogba assist. Greenwood, 2 games, 2 goals. Pogba, 5 assists, 2 games in. But still, only 1 point after United. I should mention this. I should have mentioned it earlier. They had a goal that somehow did not go in, like super early in the game. It was a terrible FIFA moment where the ball just wouldn't get in the net.
So a little back to earth for United. I will say that after the crazy high of starting the season the way they did. Again, these results happen. I would say that Southampton are one of the teams that I think one of the weakest teams in the league. So this is not a great result. They did get Jadon Sancho on the field, so that's a good step forward. We're in 25, which I don't really understand why he's number 25, but I'm gonna, like I said, it doesn't really matter. It was just odd to me.
Unrelated,
but I needed to say it. I still think once we see this team with Varane, who was on the bench, get in there, I think they're going to be very strong defensively. I just think they're a really good team. So I wouldn't be concerned about this result if you're in a United.
No, fan. but it's one of those that's like, you got to be kidding me.
It's
like,
more frustrating.
We
got to
go drop points at Southampton. Yeah. But they, I think, tied the Arsenal record or broke the Arsenal record of away games unbeaten or something like this. So congratulations to them, I guess. But you still drew Southampton, so all is not well. But anyways, United are going to be good. Southampton, they've surprised me a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're scoring, so that's a positive thing. I guess honorable mention, we should say that Liverpool beat Burnley 2-0. And in the Newcastle game versus Villa, I just want to mention Danny Ings with an absolute stunner. Yep. Fucking Danny Ings. What a hero.
Yeah.
What an absolute
Danny Ings
hero.
Is going to score a lot of goals.
Yeah.
He'll score a lot of goals. He's just good. Yeah. I every day that we don't get a striker, I get a little mad that we didn't just sign Danny Ings. I'm going to be honest with
Seriously.
You.
That it would have worked.
It really
I think worked. I could play striker for
he
City
would have been
would have
the perfect patch. If they actually thought they had a shot at getting Haaland next year, yeah. Danny Ings for a year would have been the perfect solution, but I digress.
Yeah, and another thing, last thing before our predictions, is in that Newcastle game, we got our first terrible VAR decision where we saw Callum Wilson get decimated by Emi Martinez. Should have been literally decimated. Should have been a spot-on penalty, and they called it just an offsides because I think Callum Wilson was a toenail off. So I thought we were going to stop that, but...
We've been good, though. It's pretty good.
Thought we were going to stop that. Fuck it. Well, next time. We'll get them next time. But anyways, Jimmy, we have predictions to get to. And, oh God, another weekend of pain, Jimmy. Match week 3 starts off with Manchester City and Arsenal, the mostly soccer derby. What's your score?
I have a 3-1 Manchester City win.
You think we're going to score a goal?
I think Arsenal will score a goal.
Oh, my God.
I do. I think something in my head sticks out as penalty.
Arsenal.
It won't be
on
from
the board.
Open play.
Jimmy, all I want is to see a 1 on the board next to Arsenal's name. Just a little 1. That's all I want. This is a 4-0 to Manchester City. We're going to get fucking spanked. And I'm just like, I don't want to wake up for
start the weekend.
Yep, I'm going to go right back to bed. And not get out of bed until about 3 p.m. Arsenal, nope, not Arsenal. Aston Villa versus Brentford at 10 a.m.
So Aston Villa 2-0.
I think this is going to be a fun one. I'm going to go 2-2. Let's hope for some goals here. Brighton versus Everton.
This is not a fun one for me. This is a 1-1.
No, I think Brighton's a fun team too. I'll go 2-1 Brighton. Newcastle, Southampton.
I'm really a Debbie Downer. You want to know my prediction? Can I say
go
it?
Go for it.
Nil-nil.
Nil-nil.
Double
nil.
Donut.
No, no. 1-0 Newcastle. Norwich, Leicester.
Leicester 3, Norwich 2.
Oh, Norwich got Liverpool, City, and Leicester 3 games in a row. I'll go 2-0 Leicester. West Ham versus Palace.
2-1 West Ham.
I'll go 2-0 West Ham. I think Palace are like under the radar, a bad team this year, like not going to do well. Liverpool, Chelsea, the big one at 12:30.
So what is our rule with big games, Michael?
Goose eggs.
Goose eggs. So I'm going to ump it a little. I got 1-1.
I don't think it can be a goose egg when you got Big Ramen.
That's
there.
Why. So I get a 1. And then Liverpool will find a way to get a goal. It's got to be a draw. It's a big game. It has to be a draw. That's trademark. 1-1.
I want it to be fun. I'll go 3-2 Chelsea. I don't believe it. I think they're going to draw. They're going to draw 100%. So maybe you should bet that if you're into that kind of stuff. But I'll hope for a 3-2. Big Ron brace. Burnley versus Leeds Sunday morning.
I'm going to go 3-1 Leeds.
I'll go 2-1 Leeds. I think Burnley are a little bit better than 3-1.
They've actually been okay.
Burnley are always okay.
They've been okay.
They're always okay. They're nothing more, nothing less. Spurs versus Watford.
I am going to go this. I got to say, I've given Spurs credit. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go 2-0 Spurs.
Here it is, folks. The first little hiccup of the Tottenham Hotspur season. Cancel the DVD. Don't print any more booklets. It's a 1-1 draw. It's a 1-1 draw, unfortunately.
Cancel the DVD.
And then we have Wolves versus Manchester United.
3-1 Manchester United.
1-0 United. Wolves are going to go 3 games losing 1-0. Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal. But anyways, Jimmy, that's it. That's the show, the predictions, and the only thing left is the plugs.
Yes, the plugs. Twitter, Instagram, at soccer, mostly.
Email. At soccer, mostly.
Mostly soccer show at gmail.com. Hit him with a little JD sound. Unnecessary shot taken.
JD's our boy. He's going to be listening to this. We love
our boy,
you, JD.
The Tesla bot.
The Tesla bot. No need. End the show. Mostly.
That's it. I'm sorry.
Mostly soccer show at gmail.com, at soccer mostly on Twitter and Instagram. And please, for the love of God, leave us a 5-star review.
Please.
Follow us on social media. Tell a damn friend to listen to the show.
We're going
to
take shots at you on the next podcast.
Sheesh. And enjoy our new podcast artwork, which I love.
It's beautiful.
It is. It was a phenomenal decision. Absolutely. But anyways, Jimmy. Let's leave it there. And as always, we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.